Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites. And the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is, Come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they say and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Heavenly Father, bless the Lord, the preaching of the Bible. We're going to try to lift up Christ once again. Jesus, you said, If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, we through song and Lord, I think with the theme and with most of the preaching this week, we have one desire, Lord, and that's just to lift up Christ. Lord, I pray that we would love him more after we listen to the message. If there's someone here that's never came to Christ and asked him to be their Savior, I pray that they'd be saved today. Lord, bless the preaching of the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 3, and then we're going to head into the Gospels. I would like to preach this morning on the deity of Jesus Christ. The story of Moses and the burning bush is one of the most famous events in the history of Israel. Jehovah God appears in miraculous fashion to deputize a deliverer to march into Egypt, confront what was at that time the mightiest monarch of the day, and declared to Pharaoh a message from God, very simple message, let my people go, let my people go. Moses asked God in verse number 11 a question, who am I? Who am I? Lord, why are you sending somebody like me? And then God answers back in verse 13 and 14 and tells Moses in essence, he says this, it doesn't matter who you are. All that matters is that I am has sent you. Now, I want to take that little phrase, I am, this morning, and I want to preach on the deity of Jesus Christ. What is meant in Exodus chapter 3? Let's first of all establish what God meant in this, with this title that he assigns himself. Why did God tell Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am that I am? Or, and I am hath sent you. The word God there, if you look it up in the Hebrew, is Elohim. And so Elohim says unto Moses, and again the Hebrew phrase would be this, Ha Yah, Ha Yah, I am that I am. So Elohim, who has been the name that God has called, Moses has called God up to this time, introduces himself in a brand new fashion. He says, I am that I am. What a powerful phrase. You ever think about that? Have you ever tried to meditate upon it and investigate the depth of it? God says, this is all you have to tell them. I am has sent you. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. I am. I've always been. You know what God was saying with that? If you do a little investigation, you'll find out that God was saying, you let Pharaoh know that the God without beginning has sent you. You let Pharaoh know that the God who self-exists has sent you. You let Pharaoh know that the God without ending has sent you. All of these things are wrapped up in this title. The God who transcends place and time. The God who existence controls all else that exists. The Alpha has sent you. The Omega has sent you. The beginning has sent you. The end has sent you. The Almighty has sent you. The one who inhabits eternity has sent you. You tell Pharaoh that Yaha hath sent you. 1,500 years since this story. 1,500 years later since Moses in the burning bush was chronicled and told and retold to the children of Israel. This story was passed down to every Jewish generation. I mean, every small baby Jew was weaned on the story of the great I Am, who accompanied Moses to Egypt and who showed himself mighty in the 10 plagues, showed himself mighty in the midnight Passover, mighty at the Red Sea crossing, mighty on the wilderness journey, mighty in the miraculous provision of manna from the sky and water from a rock. This I Am God was the true God, the God of Israel, and every single Jewish person knew that when they heard the phrase I Am, that person was talking about their God. Now I'd like to take you forward, if we will, into the Gospels. And I want to show you from the Scriptures this morning that Jesus Christ is the I Am God of the burning bush. Is the I Am God of the burning bush. I want to speak a little bit for a while on the deity of Christ. Hey, preacher, what does that mean? That means that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now there are people that will try to tell you different than that. There are churches that are meeting like we are meeting this morning, and they have a man standing behind a piece of wood like I'm standing here, and he has a Bible open, and he will tell his people that Jesus is not God, that Jesus is a created being, that Jesus is an angel. Let me say this, folks, that's blasphemy. Jesus Christ is God. He should be worshipped as God. He should be respected as God. He should be listened to as if God himself were speaking, because he is God. He certainly is. Now we see here, as John introduces Jesus in the very first chapter of his gospel in verse number 1, he says this: in the beginning was the Word. Now this is the title that's given to Christ here by John, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, here it is, was God. Was God. That's why I'm telling every one of you, listen to me, some of you may not understand all the depths of it. We've been teaching some on it on Wednesday nights. But folks, please just trust this preacher enough, I hope you will, to just get you a King James Bible. And just stick with the King James Bible. When people start messing around with the wording of the Bible, they oftentimes, the first thing that falls is the deity of Jesus Christ. I could take you to faulty translations. By the way, there may be one of them laying in your lap that says that, and the Word was a God. You know, it's amazing what one word can change in the Word of God. You better think about this. Well, it's easier to understand. If it was changed, then it was changed. We've dumbed down everything. We've dumbed down to the curriculum now, to the point where our high school graduates from the average public school system, it's a shame compared to the rest of the world where we're landing on this. We've dumbed down everything. I mean, we've dumbed down. No, God's Word doesn't need to be dumbed down. We need to be smartened up. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to meditate. We need to learn. We need to attend preaching. And what is the preaching for? The preaching is so that we can make a sense and understanding of the Scriptures. And folks, listen to me. The Bible is accurate in the King James Version of the Bible in saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. The same was in the beginning with God, the same Jesus. All things were made by Him, Jesus. Without Him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. Now listen very carefully to me, because this is important. See, John opens his book with these powerful verses. This portion of Scripture references a time that predates Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It starts with creation. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about what happened before that. It predates Genesis 1:1. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, folks, listen to me. There's never been a time where Jesus Christ did not exist. He's a member of the triune God. Before the universe, before the stars, before the planets, before our corner of creation, before man ever breathed his first breath, there was God, and part of God was the one titled here as the Word. Jesus predates creation. Jesus participated in creation. When Elohim said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," Jesus was part of the us. He was part of the our image. He was part of the our likeness. The triune God was active in creation. Jesus is God. He is the Creator. He is a member of the Godhead. There's a divine Trinity made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is part of that I am has sent you. Now, when Christ came upon this earth, listen to me carefully, the great error of most Jewish people was their refusal to accept that Jesus was the promised Messiah, that He was the Son of God. The religious leaders would not accept this. They just wouldn't, they wouldn't listen to it. They wouldn't have it. You see, Jesus in their estimation was not noble enough, not wealthy enough, not educated enough, not properly bloodlined in their esteemed opinion. Jesus to them was simply Jesus of Nazareth, born in the wrong place, even though He was born in the right place, to the wrong woman under suspect circumstances. That's how they viewed Jesus Christ. I'm not agreeing with them. I'm telling you that's how they viewed Him. Okay? To them, He was just a carpenter, just a commoner, just a passing fancy who had gained a popular following for a time. Again, in their educated estimation, there was no way that He was the way. Yet Jesus, again and again, much to their infuriation, would claim the Greek title of I Me. Now the title changes because the language does. I Me. What does I Me mean in the Greek? I am. Go, if you will, to John chapter 8. Let's do a little bit of a Bible study on a Sunday morning. That's not going to hurt us for a while here. Let's get into the Bible a little bit. John chapter number 8, verse number 12. If you've got something that you can make a mark in your Bible with, I want you to mark the number of times we see just in this little portion of Scripture, Jesus used the phrase, I am. I am. He did it purposefully. If you were to read this in the Greek, you would see, I Me, I Me. They knew what that meant when He said, use that title. In verse number 12 of John chapter 8, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I Me, or I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come, and whether I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For, what's the next phrase there? I am not alone, but I and the Father have sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will He kill Himself? Because He saith, Whether I go, ye cannot come. And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, if you believe not that I am, if you believe not that I me, if you believe not that I'm not, that I'm the same one that spoke out of that bush to Moses, if you don't believe that, you shall die in your sins. By the way, folks, better look right up here and pay attention. This doctrine is not some minute doctrine. This is a fundamental doctrine of the faith. You don't believe Jesus is God, then you can't be saved. You cannot be saved putting your faith and trust in some created angel or some good teacher. You trust Christ as Lord, or you are not saved. So he says that. He said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I wish I could spend time in this entire chapter. Let's jump ahead to verse 48. You ought to read the rest of it later. I want to get down towards the end of the chapter. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Watch this. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Then answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Did you like that? Before Abraham was, not before Abraham was, I was. We would think that would be proper grammar. But you know what? It's not good doctrine. Before Abraham was, I am. And you know what, folks? They instantly knew what he was claiming. Because look what happens next. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why? Because his hour was not come. There was a way he was going to die. It's been prophesied in the Old Testament. It wasn't going to be by being stoned to death. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. And so he used some of his I am God powers, hid himself, walked through the midst of them, and went into safety for a while. He is the I am. Now, folks, did you get that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Listen to what I'm going to say next. Over 85 times in the four Gospels, Christ proclaims it, he says it, he announces it, he pokes the unbelieving Pharisees in the eye with it. Over 85 times weaved into his public preaching and his private teachings, he claims the title of I, me, I am that I am. Jesus is God. The deity of Christ is one of the foundational fundamentals of the faith. It's a necessary ingredient, a vital heart belief if a man or a woman is to be born again. A man cannot be saved if he refuses to believe that Jesus Christ is God. The great I am proclaims Jesus as the God who can save you. Now I got to have you go to John chapter number 18. It gets better. What happens when they arrested Jesus Christ? You remember this story? John chapter number 18 and verse 1. Okay, he preached and claimed to be I am. 85 times he said I was the I am. Now it comes time for them to arrest him. John chapter number 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron. There, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Watch this. Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I me. That's the Greek word. I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then I like this. After they get up, brush themselves off, look around it a little bit. Verse 7, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? I think I'd be a little more polite this time. I think I'd be a little more careful this time. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. How about in the trial, preacher? How about in the trial? Stay with me, folks. Mark chapter number 14. Let's go there. Mark chapter 14. We're going somewhere specific. We're going to be a help to you this morning, I promise. Mark chapter number 14. How about at the trial of Jesus Christ? Verse number 60. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 60. The Bible says, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Watch this. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And again, they knew exactly what he claimed when he said the phrase, I am. They remembered back growing up as Jewish children. They remembered that voice that came out of the burning bush. They knew what he was saying. I am the same God that spoke out of that bush and sent Moses to rescue a nation and deliver it from Egypt. And now I've come as the deliverer today, and you will not believe that I am. That I am. Isn't that amazing? By the way, I want to share this with you because you ought to see it. This broke my heart, but then again, it made me love him more. After he says there, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven, the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Watch this. And some began to spit on him, to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesying, the servants did strike him with the palms of their hand. Wait a minute, preacher, what happened here? Let me help you. What happened to the power of those words in the garden that was uttered and made them fall back? The song says he could have called 10,000 angels. Could I just say this, folks? He didn't need 10,000 angels. He just needed one Greek word. If he wanted to walk away from the crucifixion, all he'd have to say is, with all of the power of God, all he would have to say is the word I am, and the worlds would be destroyed. People would be annihilated. He didn't need angels to rescue him. He was God. He was God. And yet, you know what he did? He took all of that power and he held it back and reined it in. You know why? Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Because he had come for a purpose, to die on the cross for our sins. You know what? The great I am that spoke out of that burning bush, that great I am that created the worlds, said, go ahead and spit in my face, I'll let you. Go ahead and buffet me, I'll let you. Go ahead and mock me, I'll let you. I'll let you. I love mankind that much, I'll let you do it. Look right up here, teenagers. I get a little irritated. Excuse me. I get a little irritated when I watch some of you and what you'll trade Jesus Christ for. How easily you'll betray him. How easily you'll blaspheme him. How easily and quickly you fold like a lawn chair anytime somebody puts a little pressure on you about being a Christian. Why don't you stand up? Why don't you square your shoulders up? He did that for you. He did that for you. He's willing to do that for you. You can't suffer a little persecution for him. He had all the powers of the universe. You know what? He could have spoken and he could have rearranged the world. He could have shut down the universe. But he said, you know what? I'm going to head up there to Golgotha's hill. And I'm going to let them nail the hands of the I am to that cross. And I'm going to let them nail the feet of the I am in that cross. And I'm not going to respond to their mockery as they walk back and forth and mock and make fun. And by the way, while I'm on that cross, I'm going to show the world that I still am the I am. I'm going to say right to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to look over my right-hand side, and I'm going to take a thief that's willing to believe that I am the I am with me to heaven that day. God in heaven is going to turn out the lights, and the sins of the world are going to come upon me, and I'm going to cry out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't have to do any of this. He did this. The I am did this for you. He did that for me. He did that so that we could have eternal life. Jesus Christ, the great I am, came down from heaven, took upon him the form of flesh. God in the flesh became the perfect sacrifice for sin. I got good news for you. He did die on that cross, but you know what? 3 days, 3 nights later, he rose again. You know, I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said when that stone rolled away and he come out of there, but he may have just said, I am that I am. I am that I am. Just reminding everybody, you know what? I was here long before y'all were ever thought about. I'll be here long after this old world's gone. You know, that's our Christ. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. In order to be saved, a man has to believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. The deity of Christ is important. I want to help some of you that are a little bit mixed up about this. Look right up here and let me help you. Some of you are so worried about being politically correct that you tiptoe around some things. Well, preacher, I don't think you ought to criticize other religions. Folks, if there is a religion that is preaching that Jesus is not God, that religion should be condemned from every Bible-believing pulpit in America. Now look right up here. I'm a little tired of Baptist people becoming Jehovah Witnesses. That is a cult. That is a belief system that says that Jesus is not God. Ask them. Ask them. They'll come to your door sooner or later. Ask them. They'll say, oh, we believe he's the Son of God. Say, I didn't say that. Do you believe he is God? He's God. I like it when they come to my door. Usually I chase them down the driveway with my Bible as they're trying to get back into their car. I have no problem opening the Bible and proving that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. I love Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. I'll say, is that Jesus? They'll say, yeah. And unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know what my Bible says? Jesus is God. Preacher, I don't know if I understand this whole Trinity thing. Well, amazing. Amazing. You as a human being can't understand God fully. His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our... Well, it don't make sense. Amazing. We can't figure out God. I don't have to figure him out. I just have to believe what the Bible says about him. We serve a one God. One God who chooses to display and reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one and one in three. I don't know how to explain it except I just believe it. I believe in the Trinity because the Bible teaches it. Every once in a while, so I just don't believe in the Trinity. I always say, let's go to the baptism of Jesus Christ. Explain this one to me. Is that Jesus getting baptized? Well, yeah. And is there a voice coming from heaven saying that this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased? Well, yeah. Well, what is he, a ventriloquist? Is he throwing his voice? Isn't there the Spirit descending, lighting upon Christ? Folks, there's the Trinity. To sit there and say, I don't believe in the Trinity is to deny the Word of God. There is a triune God, and Jesus was there before the worlds were thought of, active in the beginning, active in creation, speaking out of that bush, along with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit speaking out of that bush. You need to believe that. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the angel Jesus, that'd be blasphemy. That'd be blasphemy. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth... Notice that? You got to confess it with your mouth. The what? Lord Jesus. So is he Lord or is he not? And if you say he's not, then you're not saved, because you can't do the rest of what it says in that verse till you get to that part of the verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We got Jehovah's false witnesses. We got the false church of the Latter-day Saints. Latter-day sinners. Hebrews chapter 1, go over there with me. Stay with me here, that's all right. Some of you need to grow a spine. You need to stop worrying about getting along with everybody and worry about who's going to hell and how many people are being led to hell because of this false doctrine saying that Jesus is not God. I like to explain it this way. If we had a fire, wouldn't that be a tragedy? I hope it never happens. If we had a fire in this church, and let's say it was during the Sunday school hour, and there were children all down in the basement, and they were in all the Sunday school rooms, and the fire alarm goes off in plenty of time. We have a chance to evacuate the young people in a timely fashion, but the building is burning. And me and Brother Reiser, he was at this door pointing over here to get the kids to go to the outside, and I was down at this end pointing to the door to get them to go to the outside. And yet I look down there, and there's somebody that's pointing the children to go into a dead-end room. They're standing there saying, go in here, you'll be safe. Go in here, you'll be safe. Go in here, you'll be safe. In order to be politically correct, I just need to keep my mouth shut about that. No, I don't care who I make mad. I don't care who I offend. I'll go punch the guy in the face if I have to. You know what? That guy needs to be shut down. You know why? Because he's showing people a way that is not the way. That's not the way. That's not to safety. That's to destruction. That's to the burning. So this matter of proper doctrine, preaching proper doctrine, is something we ought to be willing to contend over. Earnestly contend for the faith. Jesus is God. I didn't just say he was the Son of God. I said he was God the Son. He is God. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 1? I love this. If you ever get one of these rascals come to your door with their literature and their watchtower and whatever else they are peddling. Here we go. Let's see what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. There he is, involved in creation. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, watch this, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the, what? Angels of God, what? Now, this is God speaking, and he says to the angels about his son, you worship him. Wait a minute, doesn't the Bible says, thou shalt love the worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve? So if God is telling the angels to worship Jesus, God is telling them to worship God. By the way, it gets clearer. Look at the next verse. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers of a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he, speaking of God, Jehovah God, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, what? O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. This is the verses I like to go to as I'm chasing them down the driveway. And they decide they need to go to the next house. There's always one that's the trainer and one that's a trainee. I said, which one of you have been a Jehovah's Witness longer? And whoever that guy is, I ignore him from that point on. I said, so you're the newbie. You need to look at me and listen to something. I may not be able to save that guy, but I might be able to save this guy. So I'm going to tell you something. You've fallen under the influence of a false teaching, a blasphemous teaching. If God, I have my Bible, if God calls Jesus God, how dare this man tell you he's not? Boy, that trainer wants to get a hold of his trainee and drag him to the car. Thy throne, O God! God said that! Thy throne, O God! God said that! You know, they can peel down the driveway pretty fast, but I got a loud voice. Yeah. Don't you come in here. Don't come in here. Listen, I'm glad to have visitors. Don't you come in here, walk around, sneak around the foyer, spreading false doctrine. I'll find you out. I'll figure out who you are. We've got some well-educated, well-matured Christians. You're not going to get by with that. Amen. You're a Sunday school teacher. You don't believe that Jesus is God. Please come seat me. You'll never stand behind a desk in front with a Bible open in front of our young people ever again. Jesus is God. He is God. The deity of Christ is worth fighting over, folks. And you know what? If you don't believe it, you can't be saved. Now, let me just conclude with this. I want to help some of the Christians. I don't want to just make a proclamation. I want to tell you this. The fact that Jesus is the I Am offers to us every single need. Listen, every need that you have can be supplied through the great I Am. If you chase this phrase through the New Testament, we don't have time to do it. I will tell you this. The very fact that Jesus came as God and proclaimed himself 85 times to be the I Am, he also, in the process of doing that, says there's nothing that you need that I can't fulfill. Brother Harold, you've had some needs in the last couple weeks. You know what? No human being can meet those needs. We can try to be a blessing. But the I Am knows what you need. The I Am knows what you need. I've been praying for Sister Angie and Brother Tim. Can you imagine? Has this caused all of us to maybe pause and consider our own mortality? I wish I had the words. I wish I had a magic wand. All I know is this, the I Am that I Am. Everything that you need, he can supply you. Everything that he needs. Sister Dolores Clayton needed of our prayers this morning. Everything that she needs, Christ can supply. Listen, is there a hunger in your soul that none seems to understand? Preacher, there's a hunger inside of me. And you know what? The more I talk to people, the more I can't seem to feel this hunger. Jesus said this, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Is there a darkness that's compassed you that is preventing you from seeing the way? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Is there a drawing of God upon your life to become one of his cherished children? Preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and find and out and find pasture. Is there a need for direction and guidance and protection? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Is there a broken heart, a sorrow, or a grieving over the death of a precious loved one? Jesus said this, I'm the resurrection and the life. Is there confusion that you have? Have you lost your direction in life? Have you just lost your way? Jesus said, I'm the way. Have you been lied to and deceived and having trouble trusting anyone anymore? Jesus said, I'm the truth. Are you dead? Something inside of me is dead, preacher. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you barren? Are you tired of failing to produce what you know God is capable of bringing forth in your life? Jesus said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more you can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. I love this one. Are you feeling lonely, preacher? I just feel alone. Do you feel forsaken? By the way, there's no more terrible feeling in the world than being forsaken. And yet, you know what? The I Am, the always with you one, is there. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. By the way, let me just say this. Everything I've quoted about Jesus so far has been in the Gospels. Wait a minute, preacher. He died and he was buried. And he resurrected and he ascended. Do we hear anything else? Well, there's a book called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He shows up in that book and several times he says and reminds us once again, I am. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. See, he was there in Genesis, he's still there in Revelation. In Revelation 1:11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I love Revelation 1:17. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And then at the very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 22, here comes the I Am again. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, last chapter. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. By the way, could I just, for fun, share with you the last red words? If you have a red word New Testament, you'll find in the book of Revelation. He which testifieth these things saith, here they are, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's going to be a day when this earth is destroyed, burned away with a fervent heat. The I Am was here before the world was ever in existence. And you know what? Jesus Christ, the great I Am, will be here after the worlds are gone. He'll make a new heaven and a new earth. Every single person that's come and embraced him as the Savior of the world, the Son of God, God the Son, will spend eternity in the presence of the great I Am that I Am. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ? Not just trusted him as an angel or as a teacher. Have you ever trusted him as the Savior of the world, as the Son of God and God the Son? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us in the Scriptures again and again and again, Lord, that you're not afraid to claim the title. The same God that spoke out of the bush, the same God that sent the first deliverer to deliver Israel from Egypt, sent Jesus Christ, the great I Am. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you. You weren't afraid to say it over and over and over again. They picked up stones. It made them so angry. They tried to push you off a cliff one time after a confrontation over your deity. They arrested you and found out the power of those words in the garden, and yet they persisted in their unbelief. And Lord, the only thing that you said at that mock trial was, you'll someday see that I am. You'll someday see that I am. Long after those Pharisees, Lord, are gone, and the scribes and all of those Roman soldiers, long after they spent their time on the face of this earth, we find you there in the book of the Revelation, still declaring, I am, I am, I am. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be honored to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we defend, Lord, the doctrine of the deity of Christ. May we stand for it. May we defend the doctrine of the Trinity. May we defend the salvation teachings that say that a man must believe and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. If there's someone here that's not been saved, I pray that they'd be saved today. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The most important question a person can ask you on this earth is this question: are you 100% sure, if you died right now, that you go to heaven? There is no more important question to ponder. There may be a lot of questions you have in life. There may be some of great importance, but nothing's more important than that. I wanted to ask each and every one of you here, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Jesus Christ came. God the Son came. He let them do all those things that I described and more. And you know what? He did it because he wanted to be able to purchase for you the gift of eternal life. It's offered to you today. If you're not sure that you're saved, come to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Come and receive the gift of eternal life. If you're here today, no one's looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. Matter of fact, I fear what might happen. I just don't know if I would go to heaven. I can't, as I look back at my life, I can't seem to find that place and time where I really and truly trusted in Jesus as the Savior of the world, fell under conviction of sin, knew I was a sinner on my way to hell and needed a Savior. I can't find that place. Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved, but God is dealing with my heart right now. By the way, I won't embarrass you, won't come get you, but I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you just pray for me, preacher, that I'd figure this thing out? Would you raise your hand real quick? I don't know what would happen if I was to die. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you pray for me? I'm concerned about it. Got you right there. I see that hand. God bless you. I'm concerned about it. I'd like to get this thing settled. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. I see your hand. I will pray for you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I need to get this thing figured out. I need to get this thing settled. Lord, you saw the uplifted hand. Lord, I do. I promised I would, and I'm going to keep my promise now. I pray for them, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that today they would embrace you as Savior. I pray that they would receive today the gift of eternal life. I pray that they would respond to this gospel message, and then, Lord, your inner working in their heart as the Father, along with the Holy Spirit, draws them to salvation. Lord, please do a work of grace in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.